Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the presentation of SalMar's third quarter results for 2009. I am Svein Oskar Stoknes, and I have the pleasure of guiding you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has got hold of the material that we've made available. That would include our press release, the quarterly presentation, and the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation, which will be used here in a minute. As usual, you have the opportunity to watch this presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone, and you may also send in your written questions during the transmission via the internet. You will find information on all these alternatives from our website at salmar.com. As usual, we will have a Q&A session after the presentation here, first from the audience present here at Fornebu, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, you will have the opportunity to do individual interviews here. To present the figures today, we have our CEO, Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Trond Westlie, and I leave the floor to you, Mr. Baksaas.
Thank you, Scott, and welcome to Telenor's third quarter 2009 reporting. Under the circumstances, we do believe that this third quarter is quite a solid quarter. We have executed on our priorities for this year under this new set of frameworks that we all work under, and this has resulted in quite solid margins and strong cash flow for the third quarter. The market development is more or less in line with previous quarters. There are some positive signs in the Nordics and in Asia, while Central and Eastern Europe, in particular, seems to have a longer way ahead before there is growth returning. The big event this quarter is, of course, the agreement that we announced with our friends in Ultimo previously this quarter, where we will be creating a new emerging market player called VimpelCom Limited. At this chart, we also show you the operating cash flows, and I just want to highlight right away that if we compare the three quarters, the third quarter from 2008 up to 2009, we had 6 billion Norwegian crowns of operating free cash flows in third quarter last year. This year it's 5.2 billion, but that includes the step up of the investments done in India with 2 billion Norwegian crowns. If we then move on to our different regions, I start with the Nordics. Again, there is a continued and strong demand for mobile broadband. In Norway in particular, where the effects of the world economic situation seems to be limited at the consumer level, there is a 9% mobile revenue growth in this quarter. This figure has three elements, and in rough terms, one-third comes from increased traffic, one-third comes from increased hardware sales, primarily related to the iPhone, which is a strong driver for this growth happening. It's the one-third coming from the wholesale build-up with the Network Norway. In Sweden, we also see signs of improvements coming out of our efforts to streamline that operation much better. We have downsized during this quarter with quite a number of full-time employees, unfortunately, as well as reduced the consultancy activities. We've also established quite a systematic and new base for building our customer base. We see optimistic results of this in this quarter. I also want to mention that in our broadcast activities, we have a 6% organic growth figure this quarter, which is also quite strong in this region. The EBITDA level is 24%. And for those of you that are into the details here, for 6, our new satellite is expected to be launched later today, in fact. We have now reached in the Nordic as a whole 550,000 unique broadband, mobile broadband users. And this feature, this service, seems to be upheld its popularity building further. If we then move to Central and Eastern Europe, this seems to be the most, should I say, sluggish market development in this quarter compared to the Nordics and, as we will show you, also for Asia. The macroeconomic situation is tough in these countries. In Ukraine, Kyivstar has managed to stabilize its subscription base as the DJs on that campaign were introduced in July. The organic revenue, though, compared to third quarter last year, was down 11%. But here we also must bear in mind that third quarter and fourth quarter in 2008 was particularly a good growth quarter in Ukraine, whereas the third quarter this year, 2009, is more in line with the significant step down in volumes that we saw coming in into this marketplace, crossing over into this year, beginning of January. And of course, the Norwegian kroner figure is heavily affected by the depreciation of the national currency. Having seen this slow development in revenues, it's impressive how Kyivstar managed to upheld margins and trim its cost base. And it's done a phenomenal job in Kyivstar to achieve this. In Hungary, we also see a further weakening of the economy. There was an introduction of an additional 5% sales tax on all consumer goods in Hungary this quarter. And that's, of course, a pretty significant cut in disposable income at consumer level. So this year, this quarter, we see an 8% reduction in revenues, but and again, despite this, also Panem has managed to maintain its margin and its market share. And under the circumstances, we can be quite satisfied on how both these two companies have met these recessionary elements. In Serbia, we managed to keep the ARPA figure quite flat year over year. But here again, the authorities introduced a sales tax and in Serbia, only applicable for mobile services. And of course, such moves from the framework setting of the economy acts negatively, at least in the short term. However, also in Serbia, we managed to keep the relative position up against competition, and reasonably well also upholding the margin level. And as a consequence, all the full region creates significant cash flows in under these circumstances, whereas since then CapEx primarily is not following the same path as before due to the lower growth level. Moving then to Asia, there are, as we write it here, positive trends both in Bangladesh and Pakistan, and it's continued since previous quarter. We have quite significant customer growth in both operations.
around 800,000 additional customers in those countries. And actually, this takes the overall customer base to 172 million in all our operations together. And this has been driven by the lowered SIM tax in Pakistan, as well as subsidy on the SIM tax in Bangladesh. And this has given a nice growth in revenue for Pakistan, as well as on the EBITDA level. And as you can see, again, Pakistan reports positive cash flows. So we do believe here that we are under a good way to deliver on positive cash flows for the operation for the year as a whole next year. Grameenphone is again an extraordinary example. There is a high EBITDA margin of high 50s in a quarter where customer uplift has been a significant feature, and also the fact that the company will be stock listed. Yesterday, 20,000 persons were present when we did the selection of the shareholder base for Grameenphone. And as a result, at 2 o'clock yesterday, we could report that we have 317,000 new private shareholders in Grameenphone. And they were all named physically at one lift at the stadium where this was taking place. And this chart was 324 square meters big. So we could readily say that the stockholder register was carved in paper, as it was ending up yesterday. It's expected that the Grameenphone will be listed from a date the second half in November. Then in Pakistan, in addition to seeing sort of very good results coming out of Pakistan in the mobile sector for Telenor, we also have to bear in mind the security situation in Pakistan. And we are, of course, very concerned about this, and we follow the situation closely. We have spent quite a significant amount on protectionary means, securing our employees and our installation. But the overall atmosphere is, of course, that of an extraordinary situation after the government initiatives and army initiatives in Lahiristan. This has given, unfortunately, a rise in violent attacks, and it has increased the risks in the whole society. And I also regrettably have to say that under yesterday's attack in Peshawar, which was one of those examples of violence attacking the people, we sadly received that a person who was working in the distribution on behalf of one of our distributors was part of the death toll of more than 100 people. And of course, this is a extremely sad event to register, and it is an example on the risk factor in that society. We hope, of course, that the government of Pakistan manage to create the necessary effort to establish peace and security. But we must also be aware that the situation for the time being is quite extraordinary in Pakistan. Having said that, on the economic side, as you can see, the local economy moves further. And we're part of those wheels that hopefully in the longer run will create stability and prosperity for the Pakistani people. I should also mention there were two operations in Malaysia and Thailand, where we've seen some slight pickup in activities, Not that it is back to earlier times of growth in early 2008, but there are some signs, and as you can see from the figures reported yesterday, both operations are doing reasonably well relative to market development. And we are, of course, looking forward and hopeful that these can continue. There will be another big event towards the end of this year. That will be the launch in India. The GSM contracts are now signed, and of course they are in operation. We are ready to launch someday in fourth quarter. We'll not be specific on the date on this presentation here, out of obvious reasons. But we have managed to establish the necessary distribution network. There is a second tower sharing agreement in place, which increases flexibility and also improves the price structure of the needed tower structure in India. And when we launch, we will have a very high number of towers in place without having constructed one single tower ourselves. And that is, of course, one of the reasons why this can be done at this scale in such a short time. There are pan-Indian roaming agreements in place, and we're ready to launch Uninor in the Indian market later in fourth quarter. The increased competition, as we've seen just recently in India, of course also plays into how we want to develop our project in India, and we will also build this into our business case going forward. There will be no more specific details on that on this presentation, although again obvious reasons, because we want to do the launch before we comment deeper into the business case as such. Then closing in, before handing over to Tom, there is a, as we see it, a solid platform for how we can move Telenor forward. We have built and responded to the new economic situation in our markets. We do believe we are positioned for new potential growth when this reappears in our different marketplaces. And in that sense, we will continue to monitor both market developments and competitive moves or dynamics in the competitive marketplaces in the same way as we tried to do over the two last quarters. And with the agreement with Altimo in place, we are looking also very much forward to work on the details from the date of presenting that deal until launch will happen sometime second quarter next year. And with those words, I hand over to Tom. Tom?
Thank you very much, Fredrik. I was thinking about using the weather as a sort of a proxy, because last year, presenting the third quarter, it was a snow blizz outside. And now it's not exciting very much. Do you think that's a good intro to the third quarter? I do think that the third quarter, we're delivering very good numbers. Even though we see a slight revenue decline year over year of 1%, I do think that the development of being in line with 2009 is very much the same. We're ending up in Norwegian kroner at 26.5 billion Norwegian kroner in revenue. And going over to the EBITDA at 10 billion and 55 million. The 10 billion and 55 million is influenced by the one-off recognition of change in pension plan in EBD of more than 500 million. So taking out the 500 million, we're going to lower the percentage of a margin of 38 down to approximately 36%. But we do see that the trend is actually following the same elements as we have been doing the last couple of quarters. So if we go to the sort of the development of revenues and EBITDA, we see that we have reported revenue of decline of 2.7% and 0.7% year-over-year for the third quarter. But if you look at the spread, it's actually quite interesting because it varies quite significantly. We see that reported numbers here in the Central Eastern Europe actually has a negative effect of reported numbers up to 42% in reported figures, even though we're down to 13 in negative elements. So the fundamental thing is that you see it's a mixed picture in the Nordic region, neutral to positive. In the Central Eastern Europe, it's fundamentally a bit negative. And in Asia, it's fundamentally a bit positive. And that's basically the trend, as we've also seen the sort of the economics in the different countries. But as you see, it's a big variance ending up sort of on the organic development. Going to the capital expenditures, ending up at 4.8 billion krona spending this quarter. That is with India of approximately almost 2.1 billion spending in India. So not including India, we're at the CapEx to sales of approximately 10%. Going then to the bridge on the right side of the slide, you see that the CapEx spending Q3 08 were 4 billion. We increased the spending in Asia. That is including India. Excluding India from that number, we have a decline of 600 million for the remainder operation in Asia. So 2 billion spending in India makes a decline on the other operations in India in Asia for 600 million. And you see that we are reducing both in CE and Nordic as well as in broadcast. Broadcast reduction is very much the sort of the reduction as a result of the rollout of the DTT platform is finished. Ending up 4.8 billion in capital expenditures. Going into the cash flow in the quarter, we have a cash operating cash flow of 5.3 billion Norwegian kroner. That is down from the 6 billion. And as we have said, on the rolling four quarter, we peaked at the second quarter to a 9, expectedly. We're going a bit down as a result. If you take that by regions, we see that we're trending upwards, an increase year over year with 1.3 billion in cash flow from the Nordic operations, coming up to 9.4. And as we previously have stated, the 10 billion target closing in. Central East Europe is declined, specifically in Norwegian kroner, as a result of the currency effect from those from that region. But the major driver of this is, of course, the nominal numbers coming out of Kyivstar. Even though the nominal numbers, although in local currencies, declined, it doesn't decline that much as in Norwegian kroner. In Asia, you see we're declining from last quarter as a result of the 2 billion spent in 2.1 billion spent in India. But even though we still have an increase year over year in the positive cash flow coming out of Asia. Looking at the sum of not including Asia, that is approximately 5.5 billion coming out of Asia. Then going to the reported numbers. For the reported numbers, we are reporting 24.3 billion in revenue, up from 23.4 last year. We have an earnings before depreciation and amortization of 8.8 billion. That includes the income of EDB of 570 million. Other items is basically EDB write-downs and some other minor elements, leaving us at a normalized or recorded EBITDA of 8.5 billion. Impairment losses from EDB, and then at an EBIT of, or earnings before interest and tax, at 4.5 billion. The associated companies coming out of VimpelCom and Kyivstar, VimpelCom at 1.4 billion and 400 million from Kyivstar. Net financials is basically very little currency or derivatives effects this quarter, so we're at basically net finance cost of 674. And then profit before taxes on almost 5.7 billion. profit from continuing operations of 4.1 billion and net income of 3.8 billion. That is after taking the, the remaining exposure on our project in Cinquis, so that we're ending up at the 3.8. That makes us earnings per share of 2.32 kroner. Going to the positive development on the net debt, we see that we are also reducing our net debt this quarter from the 35.3 last quarter to the 28.6. Part of that is, of course, a currency effect with 2 billion, approximately 2 billion Norwegian kroner. But in essence, as you can see on the right side, it very basically drives down from the earnings, the normal payments of interest, taxes, and capex, and then some dividends to minorities, specifically from dividend and a small element from Grameenphone, and then accruals, and then we're ending up at the net debt of 28.6, and that is a ratio of EBITDA to debt of 0.9. Going then to the outlook for 2009, it's only 3 months left, so we're reiterating our organic revenue line on in line with 2008, although slightly on the negative side. We have adjusted our EBITDA number and increased it from 34 to around 35. Part of that is, of course, the effect on the EDB recognition of change in pension plan, but it's also, the remaining part is also a result of improved operations. The capex to sales has been adjusted to be around the 13% level from earlier previously, as we said, 13 to 15. So now we're going on around 13. Going to the India guidance, the organic revenue is the same. We adjusted the EBITDA loss a bit down from earlier. We said between 1.5 and 2. Now we're saying around 1.5. And the capex remains the same between 3.5 and 4.5 for the year. And in total, that will leave us at the EBITDA level between 33 and 34% and have a capex to sales around the 17% level. And that also includes the satellite launch that we hopefully will accomplish tonight. And that leaves my part of the presentation and my last presentation for the quarterly report of Delta.
Thank you, Tom. We're now ready to take your questions. And I invite Mr. Bakker back on the podium. We'll start with the audience present here, and please wait for a microphone to be sent over in respect of the ones participating on the phone and webcast. Any questions? We have up here. Are you interested?
Hi, Arvid Nysæter for Fonds Finance. I have three quick questions, if I can. One is on cost and capex efficiencies. You're surprised now with the better than expected earnings for a number of quarters, primarily due to better cost efficiencies than we foresee. Do you think this is now at, sort of at full effect, or do you still see increasing effects from your efficiency programs? Number two is The debt level now is 28.6, as you pointed out. At the beginning of this year, it was 45. It's an enormous reduction. Could this have anything implications on how you think about receiving dividend payments? And the last point, you pointed out big differences in organic growth between units with Ukraine and Hungary in being the negative drag and Pakistan and Bangladesh being the positive. Can you elaborate some on how you see this continuing in the short to medium term? Thank you.
Those are three quite wide questions, I'd say. As to the efficiency measures, it will always be so that having done one set of actions in one quarter or the previous quarter or the second half year or this year as a whole, then our companies will of course also be looking to creating further efficiencies into the next periods to come. So hopefully we have created an environment where we also can see that kind of effect showing themselves also into the future. But on the other hand, there is also a relative to competition kind of balance that we need to both check upon and nurture. Because in the telephone industry, it is very easy to create sort of enormously good results in a short time frame, losing out on the market share in the longer perspective. So we keep also a pretty strong look towards that balance. As to the negatives versus the positives in this period, we've stated here pretty clearly that Asia is that region that brings forward the clearest sign sort of as a region that economic activity is building up again. And that is according to how prognosis were led by analysts and institutions that are doing that. But on the other hand, I also think we can say that the development hasn't moved as deep as the analysts said for the year as a whole. And that's also good for the local economic activity. And seeing now India where they stand, and also China being sort of the driver on the economic side, primarily domestic driven, then we see exactly what was part of the big picture in politics, when we began 2009. Whether it will continue? Well, hopefully also this growth will continue. And that it will also start to build in those countries in Central and Eastern Europe. Today lag this development, but within Telenor we are cautious about saying when, because we believe that that can take quite a while in fact.
We covered everything but dividends, I guess. Mm-hmm. What we acknowledge is that the cash flow so far has definitely been better than we expected. But in your analysis, you also have to consider that 5 billion of that improvement is currency related. So that slightly takes out some of it, at least in the sort of uncertainty. But in addition to that, we also have to consider that it is big investments that's coming up in 2010. But having said that, I do think that as a result of the position we are in, the board basically have to address that question in coming up in the fourth quarter.
Any further questions from the audience? Silence audience today?
Okay,
I think we'll switch over to the ones participating on the phone then.
There is Patrick, Barclay Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi guys, it's Maurice Patrick from Barclays Capital. Just wanted to start off, first of all, just by congratulating you on how you responded to criticism over the past 6 months by focusing on margins, cash flow, and also removing the overhang of VimpelCom and Kyivstar. And also, Schwant, thank you for the last 17 quarters, I think it is, of results at Telenor. But I think this is the last elephant in the room, if you like, which is with India. Clearly removed the overhang of Altimo, or appears to have done so, and now India remains. Would you look at alternative structures for India? So, for example, putting more assets into the joint venture, perhaps India, and as you see the economic, or the economic, or rather the competitive environment in India deteriorating, how will and when will you look at your investment in that marketplace? Thank you.
Well, I think it's a bit early to start to address that question. These give us a chance to launch our service first so that we are at least visible at street level, which we have prepared so strongly for over the last 8 to 10 months. So, Stein Hegland and his team, they are preparing very, very energetically to get that launch to happen. We are aware that the competitive situation is very strong in India. We were aware of that when we started. We are also recognizing the fact that penetration has reached 30% plus, but on the other hand, it's only 30% plus in a country which is the second strongest growth among any countries in the world economy for the time being. So it's in that environment we're competing. So to start to discuss and speculate on sort of structural things is both too early and something that we wouldn't do from sort of this podium at least.
Okay, thank you. Just one quick follow-up in terms of the economic recovery you're seeing. Clearly there's a disparity between what you're seeing in some of the Asian markets and some of the Eastern European assets. What exactly are you seeing in terms of, is it increased usage, is it the consumer's willingness on prepay? What are the main changes you're experiencing in these markets?
Then again, I think you're back to to go country by country. And it probably will come to lengthy to do that at this moment. But generally speaking, a country like India will of course be a prepaid driver for at least the coming 2 to 3 years, where penetration is expected to double. If we go to a country like Malaysia for taking the other side of the statistics when it comes to penetration, their mobile internet access is the driver, and we are in the midst of transition to 3G. So then we are in a driver which we have seen being the driver here in Scandinavia for the year starting, say, 2003 onwards. So I think we've seen this kind of development in all the markets before. If there is an economic growth happening, I think that development that we saw in Scandinavia over the last 5 years will happen at the speedier, the higher speed. But of course, the economic development plays a big role in that.
Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. David Wright, Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, hi. A couple of questions, please. I might just follow up on a comment on the net debt. I think you said that given the much lower net debt, the board would perhaps be addressing this issue in Q4. I mean, if I could just sort of, you know, push a little more, I mean, if it was decided that was perhaps an inefficient structure, you know, would there be an opportunity to announce the resumption of dividend earlier, or could there be a one-off distribution, etc.? And then just a follow-up on India, I guess. When you originally built the investment plan and gave the guidance, etc., did you foresee the current levels of price competition? Is that in your model? And if it is, you know, are you expecting the situation to deteriorate further before it improves? Thanks.
Well, coming to the net debt dividend issue, I'll just say a reiterate. We accept that we have an improved cash flow and improved net debt situation. We also say that it is going to be a big investment in 2010. And the only thing I said was that that the board will have to address that when it comes to the end of the fourth quarter. I did not say anything about anything happened before that.
But I guess to just follow up, what does that mean, the board will have to address this?
Well, as I said, there's taking no decision, the point still being what we said earlier, but we have to acknowledge that we are in having a better cash flow position. But then again, some of that is postponement relative to having a bigger investment in India next year, and therefore this is not the time to actually address this question. The time to address that question will be at the fourth quarter evaluation.
Okay, thanks.
As to the latter part of, or the second part of your question, the launch of new GSM operators in India has created sort of another twist on the price competition scale, and we were aware that that would happen, and it's part of our plan. And as we described India when we launched the India project, we had an ARPU curve in the Indian market where we expected the further reduction in tariffs to happen. So this is part of being in a competitive marketplace. And of course, one of those means that a newcomer with an empty network will use in order to get traffic and customer on its network. The price mechanism, though, over time will probably develop differently from this. As customers are entering and as spectrum are still scarce with all the operators, meaning that those that have significant customer bases and traffic volumes already in place will be sort of, to a certain extent, limited as to handle the overall market growth, and that the overall market growth will eventually be distributed among those with network capacity available. And in that sense, we need to find a balancing point also for prices in the Indian market going forward. But as an initial offer, there will always be price being part of how to make yourself visible in such a competitive market environment.
And I guess just a very quick follow-up. You're launching in Q4. Is that a full commercial launch into the end of the quarter and the various, you know, seasonal campaigns, or is it more of a sort of soft launch at this stage?
I will not comment upon the character of the launch. That will be part of sort of our launch details, and they will be visible when it happens.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Ulrich Reit, Societe Generale.
Thank you. Three short questions, please. First, on India, when you changed your outlook regarding the OPEX in 2009, is that simply a shift into 2010 or a genuine reduction? Second, in Norwegian fixed, the costs, which I would define for my purposes simply as revenues minus EBITDA, so net costs, on a year-on-year basis have been very flat in Q1 and Q2, now in Q3 they have been down. What happened specifically in Q3 on net costs in Norwegian fixed? Where did the reduction come from and how sustainable would you judge it, that reduction to be? And third, if I may, in Swedish mobile, obviously Tele2 has said they're pushing into an area where of your competitive strength. Could you tell us specifically whether you are feeling the efforts that Tele2 is putting into the overlapping segments of your market? Thank you.
Going back to India, I think basically the fact that the OPEX is in our guidance for fourth quarter lower than previously said has something to do with sort of the timing effect of how we have been able to ramp up. I think it's too early to say that this is the permanent feature of the whole project. But on the other hand, we have been able to secure contracts and with vendors below sort of the estimated price levels on as we described them in the business case as such. So we have been able to create the leeway for ourselves. But the profile of investments in the overall period is, as we stand now, more or less similar, but it's a time effect on them. If we can then move to fixed, I don't have sort of the necessary details on the cost structure in fixed in third quarter as such, but there is a timing issue on salaries that may play a role in that.
The major part is basically the holidays.
Yes. And as for the Swedish mobile, in this quarter, the growth in mobile has been able to compensate for the pressure that we previously have registered on fixed voice telephony and broadband, and we're happy for that. And I cannot say as of yet that we have noticed sort of a significant push from Tele2 in that respect. But it's good of them to note that they may come in that segment in the periods to come.
So can I follow up just on the fixed cost, please? When you're saying the major impact is the holiday season, I mean, my comparison is year and year. Are you saying that in the third quarter of 2009, the holiday season had a larger impact than usual on costs? Because I was just talking on year and year. Year and year, Q1 it was flat, Q2 it was flat, Q3 it was actually down by 80 million.
The year-on-year comparison should be okay to look at because the holiday season is pretty similar from year to year. There is no change in principle between 2008 and 2009.
Right. So why did in the third quarter the costs in Norwegian fixed come down when it didn't happen in Q2 and didn't happen in Q1?
Well, basically there are some elements of change, but fundamentally we're basically 35 down, million down from last year compared to second quarter where we were 70 down from last year. So you're talking in deviance here, we near quarter over quarter, we're basically 30 million Norwegian kroners. It's not a step change, so it's not any significant element.
Thank you.
Andrew Lee, City.
Good morning, gentlemen. Two questions. First, the first one's a bit broad, second one much more specific. But firstly, given the improvement in your Nordic free cash flow number, should we be expecting you can reach your 2 billion target in 2010? What is the key risk to that? And then secondly, in Sweden, you've delivered a very strong margin this quarter with the prospective benefit of headcount cuts not coming through until 2010. Do you think you can generate a margin above 30% through 2010 in Sweden? Is there any reason long-term why the margin should be below the Western European average? And how confident on headcount cuts are you given the Swedish unemployment issues at the moment? Thank you.
Well, the 10 billion target, as Tom showed on the cash flow curve, is building up nicely. We haven't been specific on the timing, but as we said on second quarter reporting, we foresee that the 10 billion is within reach when we sort of enter 2010. The most important question, though, is it sustainable going forward? Will we be able to maintain that level? And, of course, we will work actively to do that. But, again, also taking due consideration to the relative competitive situation in every market, which we always do. Then, Sweden margin going forward, yes, we anticipate that the full effect of the downsizing will mature and become visible in our figures in 2010. But we're not standing here and promise that the margin of 30% will be within reach that easily. That again also will depend on the competitive development. But of course we've done this in order to improve ourselves and also to find the right balance between the resources spent on both the three lines of the three public lines. The fixed Lafley, which is sort of on the losing track, and then broadband being on the established and future track, and then of course the mobile as the most important, most visible growth factor. And also looking forward to do the new network operation and the network for mobility to become visible from 2012 onwards.
Thanks for that. And just to follow up on the downsizing, you haven't seen any, or you don't expect any major negative impact to your downsizing program given Swedish unemployment's rising?
As for all practical purposes, this is in fact executed as per this quarter. Sort of when we are talking about the big figures. So this is more or less done, and costs associated with this is then covered by what we report. There might be some minor effects in fourth quarter, but those are, as I say, minor.
Thank you very much.
Andrew Hockway, Execution Limited.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions, if I may. First of all, could you comment on what trends in the fixed business in Norway as regards the operating trends? Access line loss, as I'm looking at, seems to be deteriorating. DSL growth has clearly been negative now for several quarters. Is there anything that we can expect to turn those trends around in the near to medium term? And secondly, could you just confirm how much we should have in for CapEx in the broadcast business for the fourth quarter related to the satellite launch, and should we have anything penciled in for 3G licenses in markets such as Thailand? Thank you.
Well, the effects of fixed in Norway, I don't think we can expect those curves to turn. The DSL, the number of DSL lines in Norway has probably been at its peak. And the reason for that is that those lines not taken on broadband are probably with customers that will not demand broadband in the longer perspective. Cable and fiber is taking a bigger portion of the broadband connections in Norway. So number of connections overall is still growing, but at a much lower pace than before, of course. We consider cable Ethernet access as being at par with fiber when it comes to customer experience, and that is exactly what happens where both Get and Canal Digital is now building Ethernet access among its cable TV customers at quite a significant and good rate. So we don't expect those figures to turn around and grow again. And as when it comes to mobility as such, mobile voice will still take units from fixed voice. We're at the percentage now, soon 65, 67 to 20, what does that mean? 70, 30. Okay. So that's the, then we see that we've had a almost complete transition happening over, say, 8 to 10 years of mobile voice taking almost all voice traffic, and we expect that trend to continue.
Satellite
launch.
the CapEx, as we've said over here, is around 1 billion. And as we said, we're hopeful and expecting it to launch the, as it's named, Thor 6 tonight. So we anticipate a successful launch. So in that case, yes, we're going to book your CapEx over approximately 1 billion on that. The last one is 3G in Thailand. The protest, as we understand it, is not going to happen until beginning of next year. But as DTAC has been stating yesterday, they are planning for a 3G, and that plan is going ahead.
Thank you.
Jan Dvorsky, Handelsbanken.
Thank you, good morning. I'd like to come back to the Swedish and Danish operation. If there was there any impact of the restructuring program or laying off people in the third quarter, or will all of that come in starting in Q4 in 2010?
Well, yes, there is some slight effects of restructuring costs in Denmark. I believe it's a bit less than 60, 47, if I can remember correctly. So, but other than that, no accounting effect. There has been a lot of reorganizing throughout the Danish operations, combining the brand, combining the entities into one business. So we do expect effects coming out of that reorganization.
But in terms of positive effect on cost, there was basically nothing in the third quarter coming through in terms of the positive impact on cost.
Well, as a result of being sort of executed in the second and beginning of the third quarter, you usually don't see effects the same quarter you execute. So it actually takes some time to actually get the numbers in.
Okay, thank you.
Stefan Peterson, Nordea.
Yes, so most of my questions have been answered. I have two questions left. Starting first with the new tower sharing agreement in India. Initially, you stated that the tower sharing agreement gave you access to 40,000 towers. How many towers do you get access to now, and are you committed to a certain amount of towers? The second question relates to Pakistan, where we see a stabilization of the ARPU. Can you comment a little bit further on how you're seeing the market trends in Pakistan on ARPU?
Well, the first tower agreement gave us the right to a number in the range that you mentioned. However, the commitment around the first tower agreement was slightly below 15,000 towers, if I remember correctly. This new tower agreement makes us more flexible when it comes to the coverage pattern and as a consequence, the coverage quality. And it helps us complete that picture in the circles that we will start launching services. Yes, what was your last element again? Sorry.
Stabilization of the...
Stabilization of in Pakistan, yes. Well, it's difficult to say whether this is a permanent picture or not. It's a fact that the competitors in Pakistan are still at a high number, and the consolidation question is still hanging around. And the economic climate and the political and economic climate in Pakistan for the time being might lead us to believe that there is a bit of a caution as to run sort of a very strong campaign, run very strong investments under these kind of circumstances. You might have noticed that we in Telenor Pakistan launched the financial services to build in Pakistan just recently, called Easy Paisa, and we will follow a light financial services product development path throughout the winter, which we believe will create quite a significant interest. But of course, this is a a maturing type of service that needs to be built over time, and it's built upon trust and quality. And here we are very cautious as to move forward. The banking structure in Pakistan is so that a lot of people is basically unbanked, and there should be a potential to really play a role in giving the overall marketplace a great degree of efficiency when it comes to money transfers and bill payments, the way we look at it.
Okay, I think we have to take the next question. It's from Mr. James Britton, company Nomura.
Yeah, thank you very much. My first question is, sort of looking back to your capital markets day, you said that you would consider disposing of non-core assets in better financial markets. Would you say financial markets have recovered to the extent where you'd be willing to consider this step now? And secondly, your CapEx to sales slide flagging the 10% level ex-India, is the point of this slide really to highlight that you think this is pretty sustainable for the next 12, 24 months under the current strategy? Or do you really feel that level is sort of perhaps below the normalised level of investment? And obviously, please ignore potential lumpy licence costs.
To the first, you might be right in the fact that the liquidity situation and also available credits might be quite a different quality of that as we speak compared to what was the case at the beginning of this year. But on the other hand, we will dispose an asset when we're ready to do that under all circumstances, to sort of say that this is has been stepped up or reduced is difficult to say. But there are some processes going on. As to the 10% sustainable figure, I think we have to consider that 10% very strongly up against how the economic climate in the different markets will develop. But if growth comes back into the countries by usage, we will probably see such a figure grow again. But under the present circumstances, we're reasonably well at 10%. But looking also on the very fact that fourth quarter would probably build up a higher figure compared to what third quarter isolated was. It's always so that in fourth quarter, there is a tendency that projects are being closed towards the year end at a higher speed than towards the third quarter closing. And here we've seen that fourth quarter comes in higher than before, but we will definitely not be as far with fourth quarter 2008.
And remember that we're guiding you on 13% for the year, including a subline, though, but that means 12% throughout the year, excluding that. So in that sense, I do think that the 10% have to be considered in that light as well.
Right. Can I just ask one follow-up? Can you just talk about the timing of the mobile broadband CapEx tender? And are you going to be holding back any big purchases until that's actually locked down?
Which tender are you referring to?
Again, at the Capital Markets Day, there's quite a lot made of the, I think it was the mobile broadband CapEx tender across the Nordic region, which hopefully will deliver some material savings.
Yeah, that tender is going on, and we don't have any news on that as of today. But of course, the general comment is that we can get efficiency out of the results of that tender, which we can utilize in a good way for the operations in the three Nordic countries going forward.
Thank you.
Jacob Bluestone, Merrill Lynch.
Oh, hi there. Two hopefully fairly quick questions. Firstly, on the domestic mobile side, could you just give us a sense of how much of the acceleration in service revenue growth is driven by any sort of economic recovery, or is that not yet really what's driving the pickup there? And then secondly, returning to the issue of fixed line and OPEX, I noticed you reduced headcount in Norway by about 800 employees during the quarter, so about 7%, which is obviously quite substantial for one quarter. Is that what's driving the, or is that a major contributor to the margin strengths that we saw in the Norwegian businesses, or are we not really seeing the full run rate yet of the 800 cuts? Thanks.
If I start on the first one, I wouldn't say that Norway is in a recovery. Norway has been not that severely impacted by the recession elements that many countries have experienced. So I wouldn't expect sort of a boost in revenues either from the present level in 2003. But having said that, I think all operators in Norway have experienced that this year has not given reduced volumes on any operator in 2009. We've seen some of the three smaller operators disappearing from the marketplace, but that was probably because of the fact that they were not fully financed and had difficulties in building a platform. So I think that is the characteristics of the Norwegian market. And we do not expect sort of a significant growth or nor a significant reduction in that sense. And Tom?
Well, when it comes to the 900, I'm trying to find out where you actually find the 800, because I cannot find all of them. In Norway, we basically have no reduction in 900. We do have some in Sweden year over year, though. From third quarter year, last year till now, we have a reduction of 250 man-years. And in Denmark,
I was looking at, in the spreadsheet that you send out, you do number of employees and number of employees outside of Norway, and I assume the balance is number of employees in Norway, and that has gone from 11,200 in Q2 to 10.4. In Q4,
I haven't reconciled that number here actually, but fundamentally I think we're having two man years less in fixed, and then we think that we have 11 more in the mobile sector. So where those 800 come from, I think I have to refer that to the IR afterwards.
That's fine, I'll take it offline. Thanks.
Is there Sami Dusham, JM Financial?
Four questions, please, on India. First, you have a plan to launch services in 5 circles in Q4-09. So is that plan intact, and how do you plan to go ahead with further launches in India? Second question, what's your plan as far as participation in 3G is concerned in India? Third, plan for securing long-term funding in India. And fourth, the tower sharing agreement with Indus in respect of how many rounds that relate to its service areas?
Oh, I didn't quite get the second one, but maybe Sean picked up that one. But the launch pattern in India will be that we will start with a number of circles, and there is a second wave next year. And I will not be precise on the launch pattern as such.
Okay, so how many circles by Q4, right?
We will not be specific as of today how many circles will be included in the first round.
Okay, fine. But you will be going ahead with some launches, correct?
I beg your pardon?
You will be going ahead with few circle launches, correct?
I will not comment on that question.
Okay.
And as for the brand position, the brand that will be utilized will be Uninor,
And that became public a month ago.
No, I asked for the participation in 3G process. Your plan for participation in 3G auction process.
3G?
3G. The 3G upcoming process is, as we stated, we will not be part of a nationwide 3G plan. We stated that very clearly.
Yes.
We might be looking at the question circle by circle, and it will be very interesting to see whether it will take place at the, in January, as we as now is the time around. Since we've seen quite a number of delays already.
Okay, the third one, the plans for securing long-term funding in India?
Well, the funding side in India is very much secured already, both by equity financing as well as project financing in India.
Okay, the fourth one, the tower sharing agreement with India. There is a respect of how many towers and related service areas.
That again is part of the launch details, which I cannot disclose.
Okay, thanks.
Peter Nielsen, over there.
Thanks. Brief questions left only at this stage. Firstly, domestic mobile revenue growth. I believe it's the first time you've mentioned the iPhone as a contributing factor. Is it the first quarter you've seen a meaningful impact, or has it had take-up accelerated? And I don't assume you'd be prepared to give us any numbers for share net intake or how many iPhone you have in the base. Secondly, I'd just be interested in whether there has been any movements in the Fimex court case, though nothing officially has been announced. And thirdly, are you prepared at this date to tell us how much you expect to spend on LTE rollout in Sweden and Norway? Thank you.
I don't think it's the first time we mentioned iPhone, though. But you might say that the impact has now really become a visible one. So the installed base is becoming pretty mature. But I don't have the details on that with me, but it's no doubt that the iPhone, generally speaking, increased usage and increased revenue. As for all the condition precedents under the VIP Limited deal, and to the case specifically that you mentioned, we are of no knowledge as to what kind of movement there might be around that case. But the disappearance of the firearms case is a very clear condition precedent in the overall deal. And we are, of course, not prepared to of obvious reasons, but also the overall LTE investment will be. That's far too early.
Thank you.
I think that was a lot of questions from one participating on the phone. We have time for one question from the webcast or telephone participants on Ukraine, if I may. It's from Will Miller at Arisa Research asking, could you discuss the extent to which deteriorating trends at Keystar are economically driven compared with rising competition? Have there been specific offers from competitors in third quarter that reduced your market share?
As I said in the presentation here, we have been able to stabilize a leakage of SIM cards that we experienced in the used segment out of on-tariff pricing. But that was sort of a second quarter feature. And in third quarter, we managed to stabilize that. So to that part of the question, the answer is no. It is also worth mentioning here that if we go and make an analysis on the ARPA figures as such, these are fairly stable throughout 2009, meaning that one could judge from that development that the new state of the economy basically has found its level when it comes to mobile spending under the present conditions in Ukraine.
Okay, thank you. We don't have any further questions, but before we end this session, Mr. Buxholz has wants to say a few words, please.
Yeah, since Trond sort of let loose here, even describing the weather outside before he started on his presentation today, and I have been warned about doing that exactly for my 28 quarters with Telenor. It's about time to thank Trond for his 16 only quarters with Telenor. But it's quite obvious that his performance within Telenor has been noted outside the country. And in that sense, the Danes have cast an eye on him. So we wish you good luck with your new position, Trond, and thank you for the 16 quarters along with me. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That concludes this session.